Doug Danger is going to join us in just a second on the line here to discuss this story, which is about a gay exorcism in Connecticut. Dig this. You'll be hearing this exorcism as it takes place, as it transpired before our microphones. The video shows a 16-year-old boy lying on the floor, his body convulsing as elders of a small Connecticut church cast a homosexual demon from his body. "Rip it from his throat," a woman yells. "Come on, you homosexual demon, you homosexual spirit. We'll call you out right now. Loose your grip, Lucifer." It is a 20-minute video posted on YouTube by Manifested Glory Ministries. It's being called Abuse by Gay and Youth Advocates. Let's find out now. Here in this very first clip, a church elder performs a gay exorcism on this 16-year-old boy.
"I declare the decree right now, in the name of Jesus, loose in the name of Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus. I call my homosexuality right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, loose here, in the name of Jesus."
It's not finished.
Mm-hmm. Feels good. Now, here is Reverend Patricia McKinney. Now, we don't identify any of the male elders because they didn't want their names used. They'd like the female to take the heat. I'm kidding. They didn't say that, but she's the only name we got. Reverend Patricia McKinney, she joins in on the exorcism.
"You unclean spirit. You demonic spirit that is not of God. We command you by the power of the blood of Jesus to loose your hold. Loose your hold.
What does she mean, loose your hold?
She didn't say that.
You homosexual spirit, we call you out right now. You have no power in the name of Jesus. You have no power. The blood of Jesus is against you. You have no power. Loose your grip. Loose your grip, Lucifer. You sex demon. Loose your grip.
All right.
The blood is against you."
And then finally, the gay demons were not listening, so the church elder continues.
"In the name of Jesus right now, I call you out right now in the name of Jesus. Get out 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 in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, I command you to leave this cell in the name of Jesus. You have no power here. You have no glory here. In the name of Jesus."
And then they asked the kid, "Are you still gay?" And he said,
"From a fashion viewpoint, Michelle Obama looks so comfortable."
So it didn't really take. Now, Doug Danger is on the line with us here from the Orange County Courier. I'm kidding around with that, Doug. And welcome to the show, Doug.
Yeah, obviously you're kidding around. That was Tim Gunn. That was not that kid. And I want people to understand that. I think you need to make that clear.
I think people know that wasn't the kid. That's just the joke that I was throwing in.
I understand your sense of humor. First of all, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil, as you indicated to your audience. And because I'm gay and I've been out of the closet for 3 weeks and I've traveled that road that so many of these young people have not traveled, I can understand how things get miscommunicated and how things are not as clear as they ought to be. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, what you heard there, and first of all, I'd like to know, where did you get that audio? Because I thought I was on top of this story. This is going to be part of my column tomorrow.
We had this audio. We got this off the audio feed from somewhere.
Well, I'm going to be ripping the lid off of this tomorrow in my column because I've written a column about this very thing. And I am going to tell you, and I know a lot of people think this is going to be controversial, but that's why I do what I do. I'm a gay man and a gay jerk. Everybody talks about Perez Hilton this and Perez Hilton that, and I'm getting a little tired that a mincing pink-shoed guy like that, he gets all the publicity. I'm gay. But see, I write about substantive problems. I don't mince after will I am. I'm not swishing my way to fame. I'm doing it the gay way. But not his way. I do it my way. And I do it the gay way. Now, I'm writing a column. It has been filed. It'll be in the paper tomorrow. And I'm telling you now, and I know a lot of people think this is controversial, I don't think that that is real. I don't think you can pull the gay demon out like that.
Well, what's controversial? I don't think anybody buys that.
Excuse me. Yes, they do. I think there's a lot of people that think you can drive a gay demon out. I do not. I think the gay demon stays.
And do you believe there's a gay demon?
Not a real gay demon, but I'm saying every gay knows that there's a gay, what we call a gay guys. You've heard of poltergeist, right?
Yeah.
Well, we call it a gay geist. Now, we don't really believe in miniature gay ghosts, but we call it the gay geist because there are days when you feel like you've been possessed and all you want is some tall, 55-year-old black woman in a purple robe to stand over you and just, you know, whisper sweet nothings in your ear or whatever they do. But I don't believe it's possible, and that's what I wrote about, and I know it'll be controversial.
I got to tell you something, Doug. I don't think anybody hears that and thinks that's possible, that you're going to drive the... And what do you mean a gay geist?
It's just a euphemism. I'll give you an example. I don't believe in ghosts, but if there are ghosts, well, some of them got to be gay. Would you agree that there's got to be a gay ghost?
Yeah.
All right. Like, for instance, if Casper the Friendly Ghost was a real ghost, even though Casper's a little boy, I think that was a little boy who was a gay little boy. And so that's a little gay ghost. Do I believe in ghosts? No, I don't. If they existed, would they inhabit gays? Probably. Can you drive them out with an old lady with her hair done real funky, and, you know, you're in a church that's out under some willow trees and it's about 150 degrees inside? No, I don't think so. So that's what and you're trying to tell me that that's not controversial.
No, that's not controversial. Everybody that listened to that audio knows it's bullcrap.
Well, you're wrong. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and when they read my column tomorrow, they'll go, aha, Doug Danger, he nailed it. He's nailing that gay, he nailed the gay ghost shut in the gay, back in its gay closet, because it doesn't exist. Read my column tomorrow, Phil, Orange County Courier. I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist.
We got a story about Transformers and the fact that there are people who saw the film and didn't like some of the characters, to wit, specifically, some of the robots seem, quote, racist. Well, what they mean by that, they mean racist, but in fact, what these characters are, they're black characters, they're black robots, they're urban black robots. They're jive, they're you know, urban, they're hip-hop robots. So, you know,
yeah, man. Let me tell you what, you know, this stuff is live, you know.
I don't know how they're talking, man, but there's people coming out of there. They're flipping out on all this jazz. And I don't want to get too heavy into this, but I just want to say one thing. We got to just get with it here a little bit. Okay, relax. You know, there's all kinds of Americans. They talk in all kinds of ways. They react in all kinds of ways. We have the urban black gangster type. We have the highly educated James Earl Jones type of black person. You know, we have the "this is CNN." You know, we have we have the sort of the geek. You know, that guy that writes for the Washington. I mean, and the same thing with white folks. We have the hick Southerner. We have the New Yorker. We have the West Coast Valley girl, and all of these things. And while, of course, there's been this horrific history of lampooning the stereotype. Lampooning black folks, and it's been hurtful. We got to kind of not get so crazy that artists can't even render a caricature without being labeled something that they're not. Now, look, if Jimmy DeGreek or whoever says, as they've often, you know, they can't swim. All right, now that's something that's just a flat-ass dumb statement and reflects a warped thinking. But having a couple of robots talk like they come from Compton, I don't know that that's necessarily... They're robots.
Robot? Well, where do they build them?
I don't know. Maybe they build them in Compton. Remember that robot in 2001?
Uh-uh.
Well, there was a robot in 2001. His name was Hal. Hi, Dave. He sounded about as flaming as Perez Hilton.
Are you kidding me? Naylor, you know that one?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. You talk about Hal.
Yeah, Hal sounded like Perez Hilton. Hi, Dave.
Oh, no way, man. No way. I love that movie very deeply. And I never, ever thought Hal was a gay bot. Never, never, never.
I mean, gay bot.
Well, like you say. You say it a gay bot.
I never called him a gay bot, but I guess. But if you listen to 2001, when I watched that movie, one of the reasons why I don't really like the movie anymore, because I'm against gays. No, I'm not. I just. The movie's dull for me, but now I've noticed that. Hi, Dave. I'm Hal. And he's like, open the pod bay doors, Hal. No, I'm not going to. And it began to get just a little light, you know, it disturbed me. So I put my hands over the ears of my children and ran from the theater screaming. All right.
I find it offensive for any actor to pretend to be a stereotypical black. It's wrong. It's very wrong.
What about you?
What do you mean, what about me? I'm black. I'm always black. I've always been black. I'll never not be black. I'll be black tomorrow. I'll be black the next day. And the next day after that. Now next week, I can't guarantee. I might lighten up a little bit. But get out of here, will you?
Hey, man, I was just going to talk about the black exorcisms, but it's all right. I kind of agree with you. I think Americans are really sensitive these days.
No, you can talk about the gay exorcism.
Oh, sure. I was just saying there's a lot of fallacious ideas that come out of religion frequently, and as a strong Christian myself, this doesn't seem pretty legit. You know what I mean?
It's horse dung. Yeah, it's horse dung. It's that. What, are you kidding me? Are they going to drive the gay demon out?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no such thing as gay demons. You know, there's just so much false testimony that comes out of even Christians.
How do you know? I want to ask the young man a question. Can I ask the young man a question?
Robert wants to ask you something.
How do you know? Are you religious? You raised in religion?
Sorry, what?
I said, were you raised in a religion? You raised Christian religion?
You raised up,
yeah. Now, you don't believe that you don't believe in a gay ghost.
No, sir, I don't. I don't believe in
a gay ghost. There's a lot of that stuff, man.
What do you mean a gay ghost, man? I mean, this is a reflection of just a extremely ancient, early American hellfire kind of religious shamanistic ritual, man. And it doesn't have any reflection on anything. I mean, if anything, maybe the shock treatment of being exorcised, maybe that'll scare the gay out of the guy or something for a few weeks. But, you know,
it's have to be not a sharp one to believe that.
Yeah, I think you need to be really steeped in that old-time religion, man. And even in America, you know, we still have religious ritual that's rooted in real ancient beliefs, you know, in exorcism. And besides, those guys sounded Baptist to me, and I think they need a priest because the demon will only respect a priest.
Not a gay demon. Gay demon ain't gonna, because a gay demon know the priest is gay.
I'm kidding around about that. I think it's a shock treatment more than anything else, Daniel. So I agree with you, brother. All right? Thanks for calling us tonight, man. There's Daniel there in Seattle, Washington.
Well, no, wait. Just follow my reasoning on this, okay?
Oh, okay, Professor.
But really, if it's a gay demon and a priest come in, they'll never not be respectful of it.
You know, you got a good point, because the priest's gay and the demon going to go, ha, look at that, a gay man. Try to drive me out, man? What, you want to drive the gay out of here? So you can hang, like go to a club with me?
Yeah.
Are you listening to yourself, man?
What?
Are you going to drive the gay demon out of that guy so you can go to a club with me?
That, you don't know how he talk. And for you to say that what you said about early religion, that black people only had that to hang on to. That's all they knew. And they had nothing more. And if they want to drive the gay out on a Friday night, because they have nothing to do. They can't go into town, can't go into a white restaurant, can't go to a white bar. And the only thing they have to keep them happy is to hang out on a Friday night and drive the gay out of a man. And that was a lot of what they've done.
Well, I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? I'm black. I know.
I don't give a crap if you're black. So they had nothing better to do on a Friday night than to hang around and drive the gay out of a guy because they couldn't get into white restaurants.
You can't laugh at that. You don't know.
Both of you guys are homophobes. Get out of here.
Phil Hendry.
You'll see.
Yeah, nothing for me to see.
Phil and
this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Heard every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 o'clock on the East Coast, and there is a woman who has accomplished in death what she was not able to do while she was alive. Her name is Chantal Cibier, or Cibier, or something like that. I mean, it's a French name, and I'm trying to... Anyway, this poor lady, oh my God. This woman was found dead. Now, she died at the age of 52, and I believe that she was found dead by her children, her three children, She was in her home in the Dijon region east of Paris. There is going to be a full investigation. And when I said that this is good news, this is what she wanted. Now, I don't know if she committed suicide. There's going to be an investigation, I mentioned. And I don't know if someone assisted her. But this poor lady suffered from one of the most frightening maladies and depressing maladies. It's a rare form of cancer. And I saw pictures of her and actually watched a videotape of her being interviewed. She had a tumor on her face. It was just the most devastating thing. It had burrowed through her sinuses and nasal cavities. It caused her nose to swell to several times its original size. And some of you guys may want to tune out. You're not going to want to hear this, but I'm reading it anyway. Where are you going, bud?
Get out of here.
Yeah, stay out. And pushed one of her eyeballs out of the socket, completely exposing it. This poor, poor woman. Some of the bones had been eaten into by this. The when she was alive, she was interviewed on the 28th of February. She says, "I don't know what are keeping my teeth in." I heard her talking. She had a very fluent. It wasn't like, you know, she's not able to speak. But she was asking for assisted suicide, and the French, like the Americans, like many civilized societies, they're wrestling with this idea of euthanasia. And, yeah, this conversation about euthanasia, good God almighty. And who the hell ever called Jack Kevorkian Dr. Death? And what's the story? Let me clue you in on a couple of things here, bud, before you go downstairs.
What?
Death comes for all men.
Quit it.
Bud thinks he's going to live forever. Death is the fact of life, man. What the hell? Why can't a guy choose it? And if you would have seen this woman, I'm telling you, You feel good for her today. That's the God's truth. So, prosecutor, and what she was trying to do during her lifetime was she was trying to get the courts to allow her to undertake a doctor-assisted suicide with a lethal dose of barbiturates to end this suffering. Her sudden death on Wednesday, 2 days after the court refused her request, brought calls to reevaluate French law to assure the right to die. Maybe she's going to get arrested by the frogs. It's a ridiculous thing to say, but what? How the hell can you keep somebody from doing that? If they want to do it, let them do it. It ain't like it's crazy. It's not crazy, necessarily, to want to die. You want to know why? Because that's where we're all headed, man. That's the end of the line, okay? It ain't like it's something we can escape. It's not something that if you eat your Wheaties, you're going to get away from. It's not something if you quit smoking now, you'll live longer maybe, but you're still going to die. Everybody does it. As a matter of fact, it ain't all that bad of a thing. If it's something that everybody has to face, then what makes it bad? It's a part of life. The great Carl Jung. Why, that man, of course, was a fine, eminent psychologist, and he... What the hell are you doing?
It's getting boring.
Don't turn on the freaking UFO sounds. Fine if it's boring. I'm just telling you that this poor woman in France, she wanted it and she got it. Good for her. Unbelievable. Playing a UFO sound. As I was saying, all right, forget it. I won't talk about it. Death is it's a drag, man. But why? I mean, we're heading that way. And I'm going to say what Carl Jung said anyway, even though you don't like it, bud. You telling me you did?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing talking about death? I mean, what am I doing here? The Dr. Dean E. Dull show? You're talking about death? You got another 30 minutes to go. You got to keep people listening. And you're talking about croaking. I told Bud every time you mentioned this poor lady, what did she have? You said she got something was on her face?
Yeah, it's called a tumor.
What's that?
Yeah, what's that?
It's freaking cancer, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was something on her face. But anyway... You, every time you bring up death, I have told Bud that he should play that. Go ahead, Bud. Play the sound.
I'm going to play Mr. Hall told me I got to play this.
You got it? So you can talk about death, but you're going to be hearing that all through the night. You want to conclude? Can it, will you, Bud? For God's sake. Thank you. You want to go into your death rap? Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and I can really afford to blow off listeners because...
All right, I understand. I just want to conclude these final points.
Oh, well, do tell, Doctor. Professor Hendry's holding forth. Yeah, what do you got for us this semester, Professor Hendry?
Making fun of me, huh?
Yeah. Hey, I'm taking Dr. Henry's class. What are you guys taking? You all want a room together? You know,
get out of here. All I was going to say is that the eminent psychologist Dr. Carl Jung said that death is a...
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Got Robert Green. Mr. Green is on the line with us tonight to discuss kind of an interesting case of a woman who worked for some company. We'll get the story for you, but she shaved her head to show some kind of solidarity with people who have suffered from cancer or people who are currently suffering from cancer. And she was fired by her boss or her bosses because of this. And they felt that it was, I guess, bad community relations or some form of bad public relations. But nonetheless, she lost her job. She was a waitress, and this is in Canada. Her name is Stacey Farwell. She said it was easy to shave her head. She wanted to raise money for cancer research, and she raised more than $2,700 for COPS, for the charity COPS for Cancer, a local fundraiser for cancer research. Then the waitress at Nathaniel's restaurant there in, I think it's in Toronto, was laid off when she showed up for work earlier this week with her new bald head. Bob Green joins us from Fraser Foods, which is a major grocery outlet in the Southwest. And, Bob, thanks for joining us. And I know that these are issues that employers deal with employees who bring their personal lives, their political points of view or otherwise, into the workplace.
Well, that is true, Phil. And by the way, before we go any further, I want to commend you on the interview you did with Arianna Huffington. I thought you put her in her place.
I didn't put anybody in their place. I was asking a question. It got contentious.
No, she chickened out and ran off. And I've been watching her for a number of years on TV, and I get increasingly irritated looking at her, and not just listening to her, but looking at her. When she pushes the glasses down on her nose, and I've been waiting for somebody somewhere to you know, really stick it to her.
I don't see it that way. I didn't stick anything to her. We sort of insulted each other, and she hung up.
No, I think you got it wrong. I think you really put her in her place, and I guess it's the foreign accent. And I admit that I'm probably biased that way. I don't like somebody with a thick German accent.
Well, Ms. Huffington is not German. She's from Greece.
She's from where?
I believe she's from Greece.
Well, I don't like anybody with that thick yavol, you know. I don't like that telling us what to do. And so you may not think so, but I commend you.
Well, I want to move on to this other issue, if you don't mind, sir.
All right.
The lady's fired because she shows up to work bald. She was raising money for this charity. And she loses her job. And the charity, in fact, was not only for cancer research, but it was also being sponsored by a local police organization. Isn't this the kind of community involvement and community awareness that we want in all of our people, all of our citizens, whether they're Canadian or American? You know, as employees and as active members of society, why penalize somebody?
Well, Phil, I understand your point of view, but I have to applaud the Nathaniel's restaurant there in Toronto or Ontario or wherever it was. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the locale, but I have to applaud them. While it is commendable for a woman or a man to involve themselves in community activity, and we certainly want our employees to do that at Fraser Food, and we encourage it. I must tell you that in order to, you've got to err on the side of public welfare and the health of your customers, and that's what they did. And you don't want to have to do it, but you do have to err on the side of the health and the welfare and general hygiene for the customer. You not only have employees, but you got to look out for your customers. So I do applaud them. I'm sorry the young lady had to lose her job, but she should have known.
All right. Well, no, wait a minute. You're talking about the public welfare, the health,
that's correct,
the hygiene. What are we talking about here?
Well, I'm talking about what that woman's appearance is going to do to customers that walk in and see either a checker, in my case, or a waitress, in this case, walking around after having shaved her head, which brings to mind questions the customers may have. I would not have the answers. Her manager wouldn't have the answers.
Well, what questions could they possibly have other than that, hey, look at that lady, she shaved her head?
Well, as I said, the questions could range from a concern about infection, hygiene, membership in an organization that has quasi-religious ties that could compromise the safety and well-being of the customers. If you're in...
All right, can I interrupt you?
No, but if you're in... Let me just finish my point, Phil. If you're in the business of serving the public comes first, and anything that you do that puts fear, either of infectious disease or any kind of violent assault into their minds...
What is the violent assault? See, that's the thing, you know...
Well, Phil...
The question that I kept asking myself when I saw this story is, what exactly is she doing just because she shaved her head that is so threatening, you know?
I said, the first of all, you ask yourself if it's for cancer, okay? All right, let's say it's for cancer. You still have to keep in mind the legitimate concerns of the people who are coming into this restaurant, or in my case, my store. And let's remember, there's food in a restaurant and there's food in a grocery store. And this is food she may be handling. The cancer that people may think she has, if it isn't infectious, it still might put the fear into a mother who has a newborn infant as she brings that infant into the line of this bald checker or a bald waitress, that her infant is going to contract a tumor or something.
Well, wait a minute, man. Cancer is not infectious.
That we know of.
Cancer is not... Wait a minute, that we know of. Cancer's not infectious.
Well, you're right, but that we know of. The point is...
I mean, you're talking about a bald woman. Are you saying that people that would come into your store are afraid they're going to get infected by cancer?
I don't know, but I want to err on the side of good judgment. The membership in any cult that advocates using explosives against a government property... the possibility that...
We're getting into areas now here, though, Bob.
The possibility that this person has some kind of disorder that affects their judgment, especially if there's an infant. And I keep going back to this, but imagine a mother that...
But Bob, hold on. We're getting way far afield here. We're beginning to speculate, which I don't think is doing us any good.
Well, I don't know what you mean by speculate.
We don't know. Cancer's not infectious. That's number one. Because somebody shaves their head doesn't necessarily mean they're in a cult that uses... But you go even further, that they use explosives against a government installation.
Phil, the literature is still rather thin on this. But we know from experience, and law enforcement will tell you, that the tendency to shave the head... And I mean razor the head. Now, I'm not talking about a crew cut or a butch cut. I mean a full razoring of the head so that, as they used to say, it's your big bald. You know what that term is?
Yeah, you're like a cue ball.
You're like a cue ball. The literature tells us that when someone goes to that extreme in shaving their head to the point where it is slick, and I'm talking about... You know, the African Americans used to say it real shine, you know, or they'd say it this way. They go, "Yeah, man, it's shine," you know.
I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in this content. That I don't want to hear this. It sort of sounds like a racially baiting comment you're making. I'm interested in.
No, but wait a minute. Anybody that razors their head off like that, there are questions as to any. Certainly, religious affiliation comes to mind.
Well, are you talking about Hare Krishnas? Because the only people that I know of that shave their heads...
No, I'm not talking about Hare Krishnas.
Well, the only ones I know of that shave their heads are the Hare Krishnas.
No, I'm not talking about Hare Krishnas. I'm talking about the abundance of secret cults that have sprung up over the last 10 to 15 years, such as these people that wanted to go and land on a comet. You remember that? They were cutting their thing off, and then they wanted to land on a comet.
Heaven's Gate.
Yeah. Thank you. And they wore purple. Thank you. Okay, I rest my case.
Well, I don't, that's a ridiculous claim.
Well, no, wait, what's ridiculous? They're led by a guy named Johnny Appleseed who cut his genitals off, and he wants to land and live on a comet, and he's bald. Now, I see that in my store, someone operating a cash register, and I see that they are bald. I'm looking for purple slacks, sneakers, and a guy that, you know, some guy that looks like, you know, some guy that looks like your grandfather asked after he put his head into a weed eater, waiting to pick her up in a truck and take her off to the spaceship. I don't need that. And it's too extreme.
All right, let me get a call up here. I think you're being funny.
Mr. Henry, you asked me on the program.
Well, I didn't think that, you know, seeing a bald person is going to immediately have someone think that it's a Heaven's Gate member.
Well, what about the mother with the baby, with an infant baby that is being exposed to this bald, and it's my store. And the first thing she's going to say, you're the manager of the store, and you let this bald, this freak, pardon my language, this bald, weird person check my groceries and my infant's laying in a bag here.
Laying in a bag.
You know, in the we have bags and carts, and we encourage mothers to sometimes put the kids in the bag right along with the groceries.
Dean, listening to us in Portland. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, this man is so completely wrong. The idea that an individual who is razor slick. And you did say razor slick, correct?
Yes, I did. Now, understand, we're living in a post-9/11 world.
Now, you said razor slick, right?
Yes.
Well, my head is shaved bald, and I shave it 3 times a day. That'll tell you how slick it is.
Well, so what do you do? Do you wax it, too?
No, sir, I don't wax it.
Let's not be smart.
No, I don't wax it.
Well, I think anybody that shaves their head 3 times a day, all right, let me ask. Do you or do you not belong to a cult?
Yes, I do, but I first want to say something.
That's you right there, Phil.
No, I want to say this. We are not violent. We believe in our spiritual teaching that all life is sacred. We would no more go into a grocery store to infect a woman's baby than we would kill anyone. We are nonviolent. We perform many rituals which are akin to the Christian faith, but we are rooted in pagan beliefs.
All right, so that means that you're rooted in... Look, we're living in a post-9/11 world, and...
Yeah, you said that. So what does that mean? We're living in a post-9/11 world.
It means that if I see this guy come into my store, and what did you say? You said pagan?
We have many pre-Christian beliefs, yes.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I've got... my office is directly above the aisle where we keep insecticide. And if I've got to, I've got to defend people.
So by what you're saying, you would go down to the aisle where the insecticide is and get a can of insecticide?
I would, yes. We have industrial strength. We've got the 1-2 shot. We've got it all. And if it means I've got to go for a can of Raid, which I frankly think is appropriate, if you don't mind me saying.
That's insulting.
It's very insulting. And you're denigrating me, so I'm an insect because I shave 3 times a day.
And I'm going to have to ask you this because you brought it up. Where else do you shave?
You know, that is none of your business.
Why would you ask that?
This guy came out and volunteered the information I shave 3 times a day. So I ask again, where else do you shave?
I'm not going to answer that, but I'm going to tell you I'm nonviolent. And I think to assume that anyone that is either slick or shine or waxed is somehow violent.
See, he used the word shine.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't rub his head and go, shine.
I said that's
so racist. We do use the term shine, and we use the term Q. But it's a Q as the letter Q, not C-U-E as in cue ball.
As in cue ball. Sir,
well, you're mocking me now, and it shows the level of your intelligence.
I have to protect my customers from a guy like you coming in shaved, just ready to get on a spaceship. And what are you coming in for, a box of Pringles or something? I told you, I've got insecticide 5 steps away from my office.
Are you telling me that if a guy comes in with a head shaved like a cue ball, you'd hit him with Raid?
We don't keep weapons on a premises. Well, that's a nice thought, because the way you're talking, it sounds to me like you have a violent tendency and that you might.
No, I don't, sir. The only thing that I've got protecting me against anyone coming in that's cued or shined is Raid. And I'm sorry, but the health and welfare.
I think you, Bob, have taken this so far out in an effort to protect the name of a fellow business owner.
No, I'm not taking it too far out. They're the ones that fired her. I didn't do it.
But I haven't heard the reason other than to say that probably looked too weird. They didn't say she's got cancer, she's infectious, that she belongs to a cult, that she wants to land on a planet, or that she needs to, you know, that you got to get a can of Raid to keep her out of the damn store. Nobody has said anything like that. All they have said is that the lady was a little unorthodox looking.
Yeah, that's in a supermarket where we get a lot of customers, a lot of foot traffic. In this post 9/11 world, that could turn into a panic and a wholesale slaughter.
And, well, who's going to slaughter?
If I get out enough cans of Raid, if I see one or two of you Qs coming in, and I arm my butt by the box boys with Raid, or there's another one, I think it's the Decon.
All right, look at Robert. Understand that I know that you haven't done this yet, but what you're saying is now you're giving everybody out there who owns a business the right to arm themselves with Raid if they see a bald man walk in.
That's exactly what my point is, Mr. Henry. Thank you.
Not a bald man. Anybody that's cute or shine.
Meaning they shave extra close.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you for your call, Dean.
Thank you.
And Bob, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Phil. And I hope your audience understands that I'm not just being gratuitous here. You get a cue or a shine, or if you get someone who is double blade, or they shave the pubic.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll come back here, then we'll get off of cue and shine. The Phil Henry Show.
We lose ourselves, but we find it all.
Phil Henry.
Because we are the ones that want to play.
Phil Henry.
All right, Mr. Wheeler, you wanted to make this final point. I'm sorry if I preempted you. But put in front of me something that you've emailed out, which is a state bill 620, which is called the grocery store alarm or public place alarm, correct?
Yes, Phil. What Mr. Green didn't tell you is that as the result of the fact that some people who are Qs may use his market, he has created an alarm system that we have found to be very offensive.
Now, I've got to call in to have Mr. Green back on the line with you because I don't want you to say anything here that he can't respond to.
That is fine. He can't deny it. The alarm system that he has created is specifically for individuals who double shave and not just their heads, but other areas of the body that we consider to be fruitful and areas of the body that are sanctified in our religious beliefs.
And I think I got Mr. Green on the line. Bob, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil. The alarm system the gentleman is talking about, if I may, Mr. Wheeler.
Go right ahead.
Is simply to let my employees know that a queue is in the store.
Now, we got to tell people, you're talking about a queue, you mean a bald person.
A double-bladed bald person. Because of this woman in Toronto who showed up for work bald and was fired, and now the boss there thinks that people think he did a bad thing because she was raising money for charity. Yeah, okay, that's what she said, and I have no reason not to believe her. But if she goes home and lights candles and begins to stir a cauldron, I don't know what these people do.
You see, that's the kind of bigotry, Mr. Henry.
What is the alarm?
If I may, we simply, on our PA, while we're playing Muzak, which we have piped in the satellite, if anyone who double shaves or anyone that we suspect of having a not only a shine head, but also shaving other parts.
You hear this, don't you, Mr. Henry?
we fade it out and we go back to the music.
Why do you find that offensive, Mr. Wheeler?
We find it offensive because he is singling out Qs and those who are allied with the Q. And you hear this language this guy's talking?
I don't know what you mean by allied with the Q.
People who are fellow pagans.
Yeah, all right, just say that, sir. We have our own language. And I think you understand that, Mr. Henry, why we feel the need. If I see this guy walk into my store, then this simply comes on. I give a series of hand signals from the window of my office. I will rub my head.
Oh, will you get out of here?
That sounds like Cars by Gary Newman.
Gary Newman?
Yeah, not Gary Nugent.
Gary Newman. I give a series of signals from my office. I rub my head. All right, we'll be back.
Phil Hendry.